visit later this year to be scrapped. More of these stories can be found at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Hey, it is.
Oh, come on. Oh, you can hear me? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woohoo!
Okay, we got running a little bit fast here this morning there, Bad Bob. Good morning, everybody. It's about 5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here on the first day of February 2017. And tell us what's going on with the weather today.
Good morning, Carl. And we've got right now 39 degrees in Redding, clouds today, rain tonight, rain for the next couple of days, accumulations of up to 3 inches. That's going to continue all the way through the weekend, now into next week. So some wet and wild weather ahead of us. I'm seeing rain in the forecast all the way through next Friday. Again, 39 degrees. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Shasta Gas Propane, where it's a veteran-owned business, where the customers are warm friends. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. People, we have a huge show today. The fact is that we have the city manager, retiring city manager, Kurt Starman's coming on in about 10 minutes. And after that, at 8 o'clock, we have David Kehoe, who is the supervisor, the first district here for the Shasta County, and Larry Lees, the county executive officer. All of them here today to talk about different things that just happened to work out that they all hit today before all the other Kurt Starman was set up before the announcement of his retirement and all that. But before we start with that, we have Club Kook.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Margaret Crawford. I am the promotions chair for Club Cougar 2017, Foothill High School. And today we have several students here to go on air to give you a little taste of some of the music that you will hear at Club Cougar. This year is the 23rd year for Club Cougar, and it is held February 8th through the 11th and February 15th through the 18th at the Church of the Nazarene on Bocelli Lane, right where you see the tall flag off of I-5. And tickets are available by going to clubcougar2017.eventbrite.com. Or you can call 245-2707 for more information. And it's a four-course meal, a three-hour dinner show. There is drama, theatrical, music, singing, dancing, and it's a really a great night.
Isn't this different than other times? I mean, have you always had, like, dramas in there, too?
We've always had a drama scene, and actually the scene plays out throughout
okay.
the show.
All right.
And it's combined with singers, dancers from the 1930s era.
Oh, of course.
So yeah. The audience is encouraged to dress in period-style clothing.
Okay.
And so today we have the Andrew sisters here, which is Shelby, Madeline, and Lindsay, and
okay.
they're going to sing you a song.
All right, well, wait a minute. Let's get the let's push up our microphones here so the girls can get in there. The Andrews sisters, huh? Okay, let me see. Is this going to be the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Hit it.
Pack up all my cares and woes. Here I go, singing low. Bye, bye, blackbird. Where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, so is he. Bye, bye, blackbird. No one here can love and understand me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all end me. Make my bed and light the light. tonight, blackbird, bye-bye. So pack it all up, my cares, my woes, here I go, bye-bye, blackbird. Somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, and so is he. Bye-bye, bye-bye, blackbird. No one here can love and understand me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. So make my bed and light the light. I'll arrive tonight, blackbird, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Make my bed and light the light. I'll arrive late tonight, blackbird, bye-bye.
Way good. Bravo. Bravo. Okay, the Andrew Sisters there. Yeah, it's like, now, remember, and I'm not sure which one of it is, but stay away from gangsters, okay? All right, do not marry a gangster. Okay, all right. Now, well, that's great. Aren't they good?
They are awesome.
Now, when's this going to be again?
This is February 8th through the 11th and February 15th through the 18th. And it's at the Church of the Nazarene on Bocelli Lane. You can get tickets by going to clubcougar2017.eventbrite.com. Or you can call 245-2707.
We have Joey Murray here.
We have Joey Murray here and
Shelby Crawford. Okay.
And that is Bob Eberly and Laverne Andrews.
Oh, okay. Can't wait for this one. Wait a minute. Do you all, hi kids, do you all even know who these people are? Do you research them at all?
Yes.
Okay, so you know who the Andrews Sisters are?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right, my wife, when she was singing with the Gold Diggers, they would go out and do these things. And their big one was when they were doing the...
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
Yeah.
Last year when we were on air with you, Linda took us back and showed us some old pictures and told us all about it.
Yep. Well, yep. She had a – but you girls sound really good. Now, okay, I'm waiting for you two. Now we got just a couple months left. So hit it.
You say either.
And you say either.
You say neither.
And you say neither.
Either.
Either.
Neither.
Neither.
Let's call the whole thing off. You say potato.
And you say potato.
You say tomato.
And you say tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, then that would break my heart. So if you like pajamas,
like pajamas,
I wear pajamas.
You got pajamas.
For we know we need each other, so we better call the calling off off. Oh, let's call the whole thing off.
Oh,
let's call the whole thing off.
Cool. Well, Club Cougar. Yeah, I like that, Margaret.
How many people you got? We have about 130 students that participate in the program. Singers, dancers, our fabulous band, and we have students that are also bussers and servers.
Cool. All right. Look, everybody, we want to have a great time, Club Cougar. And you can do it February the 8th through the 11th, and then February 15th through the 18th at the Church of the Nazarene.
On Bocelli.
Is that on here anywhere? I just missed it.
Probably not, but it's in the Date Magazine, and it's online.
And we'll write, if you just write it, are you going to take this with you?
No, I'll leave that
okay.
for you.
Just write it kind of on the side there so we can talk about it during the week, too,
okay,
as it comes
Carl,
up. We'll give
good.
You some live reads. Y'all sound great.
Thank you and Linda both for having us on the show again this year.
It's our
pleasure.
And
for promoting Foothill High School and Club Cougar 2017.
Well, you know what? Linda, as you know, is so much into the arts, and I am, too. I think that anytime you cut the arts back in high school, that you're really hurting us in the future. But, you know, I would like to see the money that all the money that's there. Of course, you know, you want – mathematics and science, but there's a lot of people that express themselves, maybe, you know, with their ability to sing and dance. And that's the way it was for her. And you had something, you know, like School of the Arts or Club Cougar, things like that. So they didn't have that when she was growing up. And she just, I mean, she had to pound through it. And, you know, she was singing in clubs when she was 15. They had to bring her into the back door with
We've
the
We've done
band.
A little bit of that with Club Cougar.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, they were serving alcohol there, but she was singing. And that's because she loved it. And it's been her life. So, you know, good luck and break a leg.
Thank you.
Thank
right.
you.
You bet. Thank you for what you do, Margaret. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to be right back with Kurt Starman, our CD manager, who says he's retired, but I don't believe that yet. We'll talk to him when he gets back. We'll be right back.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Must be Budget Blinds, because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more. To transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blinds, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered in.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today. 226-9027 or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Butt. Linda's out a little bit today. She's, of course, going to be at Wind River at the Overtime tomorrow night from 6:30 to 8:30, singing there. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. You know, Sleep Number bed is, that, and that's where she is right now. Making sure that she's going to be okay for tomorrow night. Her sleep number setting is 40. My sleep number setting, of course, is 60. And you're not going to get a better bed or a better price than right now at Sleep Number. We've been using that bed for over 2 years, and I can't say enough about it. Friends ask us, yes, it's simply outstanding. And right now, your Sleep Number mattress and Sleep IQ technology is available, and now you can save $300 on a very affordable, adjustable Queen C4 mattress. Voted, you know, the it's number one by Consumer Reports, J.R. Thompson, all of these. Sleep Number. Head on down to the Target Shopping Center. Go over and see Brian or Janice or any of those professionals over there. Today I'm sitting here. This is a big day because not only do I have Kurt Starman sitting here in front of me, that rolling in right after him is Dave Keough and Larry Lees. It just so happens that if you were here scheduled a while ago, and thank you very much for being flexible with me.
You're welcome. Actually, can I share that story with your audience?
Sure.
Yeah, you don't mind if I harass you just a little bit?
No, I don't mind a bit.
So I was actually over at the county talking with my esteemed colleagues on Monday, and you know, as often is the case, the conversation quickly turned to Carl Bott, because we're big fans. You know, what's Carl up to? How can we help him? And we found out that I said, well, you know, as fate would have it, actually, I'm on Carl's program this Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And Larry Lees looked at me with a befuddled look and said, well, geez, you know, David Keough and I are scheduled for 8 o'clock as well. And I said, wow, that's puzzling. That is very puzzling. And so, I got back in touch with Carl, who admitted he made a bit of an error, but always looking out for me, which I always appreciate. Carl's always looked out for my best interests and said, well, I have the time slot for you, 7:15, get you out of bed early, lots of parking on the street at 7:15 a.m. So, so I'm happy to be here, and thanks for looking out for me for that 7:15 slot.
Do you think it's going to make it easier on you now? You know what, Kurt? I appreciate you, coming here. And what happened is Linda Shank, and I can say this, yes. your personal assistant is a person of good nature.
Thank you.
Because when she asked me, what do you want to talk to? Do you want to talk just regular things with Kurt or something special? I said, I did want to talk about the rumors of him and the Lemurian princess in a party up at Mount Shasta.
Yes.
And I said, or regular business, it's up to him. And she said, she never came back, but she did say she found that amusing. So,
I did come prepared to talk about Lemurian princesses today, so I'm ready for that.
After we got you set up, there was another announcement on Friday or Saturday.
Yes.
the big news day that you're leaving.
Yeah, well, not leaving per se, but kind of a new chapter in our life. So, really with mixed emotions and a little bittersweet, but I think many of your audience know, and I grew up in Reading. This is my hometown, and so it's really been my honor to serve the community for the past 25 plus years, actually now, in a variety of different ways. And the last many years as the city manager for Reading. But Jackie and I, my wife and I, are talking about the future. Our kids are grown and young adults now, and we're looking at the next chapter of life. And life is short. Actually, one of the things that really brought it home for me, quite frankly, is I have my mother is in poor health, and she's not all that old, quite frankly, and it just kind of really brings it home that life is short and some of the things we want to do still. So, I've served 25 years with the city of Reading, about another 5 years with state government in different ways. So, we're going to look at doing a few other things, and, I'm really going to miss the organization, miss the people. We have, just a wonderful leadership team and a great city council right now, wonderful employees. So I'm going to miss all that, but looking forward with a little bit of trepidation, but looking forward to a next chapter in life.
Okay. And you absolutely have the right to do that. Absolutely. I mean, if anybody knows about the sanctity of life and how short it could be, it's me.
Yes.
However, right now, the city, and I think you would agree with me, is in its lowest ebb. That right now we have, and you can, and tell me I'm wrong, please. But as you often do, but I choose not to believe it. D failed, mm-hmm. The ARC failed, courthouse gone, crime rising, 57 going to happen, so it's not going to get any better. Unfunded liabilities. Crazy. The state changing the rules to make it crazier. Is this the time to step away?
So let me preface this by saying, and Carl knows this about me, but you check me on this type of stuff, but I tend to be an optimist, and I'm definitely a glasses half full. So I think we have, we and others in California, cities and counties and just the state in general, have lots of challenges. And you mentioned many of those, many of which are statewide issues. And certainly impacting Reading and Shasta County. But, I'm very optimistic about Reading. I'm very bullish about Reading. I love this community. I think we have just some really good, a good foundation, I guess, in the sense that we have a community that, even though we're a mid-sized city, it really has that small town feel where people really care about the community. It's why we have these conversations and we continue to tick away and chip away at some of those problems and challenges. I think we live in a beautiful place, a wonderful, beautiful place in not just California, but in the United States, quite frankly. And so actually, I think we are guilty. We as a community are guilty of, fixating, quite frankly, on negative things and negativity. And I don't want to be naive, and we need to talk about those challenges and we need to address those. But I think we get so caught up in that sometimes that we forget that we live in a beautiful place. We have some wonderful people here that really care about the community. And I think we have challenges, and I don't disagree with that, but I'm very bullish on Reading, and I think Reading has a very bright future.
Okay. So tell us where those points are. And because I agree with you, first of all, I do agree with you. This is a great community. I wouldn't be here. Because exactly. we had plenty of chances to go other places. This is the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my life.
Exactly.
In fact. And I don't plan on leaving. Probably got one more move in us, but it's somewhere around town. And I extol the virtues of this place to my friends that I say, why are you there? I also see things like, what we're doing with, software advancement and our tech. It's growing, I think, really good right here. But I also see a lot of things that we have really severe problems with. Tell us how the unfunded liabilities and the change in what the state did, because they just changed the percentage rate, which means we have to pay more. How do we handle that and the lack of police that we're paying more for right now, but with less police because of the retirement system and the health care and all that? I think people really want to know because, you know, frankly, we have good – I think the people in the city council are really likable, good people. But I don't see any plans coming out. After D failed, what was Plan B?
So that's a lot of material for conversation.
You can just take one of those and jump into it.
Okay. Well, actually, it's a timely discussion. We just had I was on a panel yesterday with the Reading Merchants
and I saw that.
Crime Watch group, and we had a very similar discussion about that. So I'll share some things that Mayor Weaver and I talked about, and I'll try to do it in brief because that was about a two-hour session, so we don't have 2 hours today. But I'll start with what I said earlier, that we certainly have some challenges. But everything you just mentioned in terms of Prop 57, issues with homelessness, transient type concerns, Prop 64, Prop 47, AB 109, those are issues, pension issues. Those are issues that, you know, I can say virtually are impacting every city and every county, every special district, and the state of California itself. So, you know, I think sometimes we get so fixated that, you know, this is a Shasta County issue only, and that's not the case. And so it doesn't make it any better, but it just, you know,
no, I think people understand
and
that.
I think
they're all in the same thing together.
And what I told, you know, tell people, I mentioned this yesterday actually, is that I think we lose perspective on that sometimes. And so, you know, when I travel other places of California, and I'm sure you had the same experiences, when I look at, you know, I drive down the Central Valley as an example, and I look at places like, you know, Stockton or Modesto or Fresno or Bakersfield, or I go to the Bay Area and experience, you know, the traffic congestion and traffic jams, or Southern California, the same experience. I am always so grateful, quite frankly, to be back in Redding, California. It's just a wonderful spot. So we definitely have our challenges. You know, in terms, I thought Mayor Weaver did a nice job of saying that. He kind of described it. He started off by saying, you know, he talked about his early career in the tech sector, where some people really from a personal career and finances had kind of a grand slam in that big dot-com buildup, where they had stocks options and they became millionaires overnight. And he described that as kind of, you know, the home run for those individuals. And then he kind of translated that back to Reading and talked about, you know, Measure D, had it passed, would have made a significant positive impact in the area of public safety for the community. It would have been that home run. That's not the will of the voters. We respect that 100%, and we will continue to do the very best we can with the resources we have. And so they went on to talk about, but, you know, in his business, Weaver Lumber and his development business, and just in a different way that, you know, you can't always do the grand slam. You have to keep on chipping away. And
I got it. You know, you take a base hit and you beat him to death with base hits.
Exactly. So I think, you know, we have some good things in place. One, I'll tell you that we've hired probably 35 or 40 new officers over the past 5 years, just some really – none of these are, you know, when vacancies occur. We didn't
add – we're talking about police officers.
Police officers.
A lot of them were transfers.
Many of them were transfers. A lot of them had military service.
They brought in their retirement some things.
Some did. Some did not. We can talk more about that in a moment.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic in the sense that we've hired some really good young police officers, both men and women, that I think really are doing a fantastic job, and we have an excellent police force.
I think anybody's arguing that.
And I think that what I mentioned earlier in terms of this is a community that cares. We're not a Stockton or a Modesto to just
that's
sort
right.
of get as apathetic.
They reach out and help people.
This is a can-do kind of community. I think that's critical. Reading Merchants Crime Watch is a good example of that, of just, you know, stepping forward and saying, what can we do to help? So I think that's a positive thing. The other thing I think is really helps, you know, really serve Shasta County well is that, and this is not true in many parts of California, I can tell you talking to colleagues elsewhere, is that you have a great collaboration between the county of Shasta, the city of Reading, Anderson, Shasta Lake, state and federal agencies, where we really do work really well together and collaboratively. I think that's huge, and I think that will serve us well going forward. I'll remind you that we spent a lot of time and effort on the Blueprint for Public Safety in 2016 that really served as sort of a foundation for that election in many ways. I'll just say parenthetically, I'm very proud of that work effort. I think that was an excellent strategic plan that, if we're able to fully implement, will really have a positive impact on the community. We won't be able to do that as quickly, or maybe won't be able to do many of the things because of the resource issue. But I'll remind you that there's probably 40 or more ideas in there that were called Tier Zero recommendations that had, little cost or low cost. And we're ticking away at those and making improvements. A good example is as a result of that work effort, we have restructured how we deploy our police officers and our shifts, and that's had a big impact. We've had a pretty significant reduction in a couple minutes on our response times.
Went from like 15 to 12.
Yeah, so pretty impressive there. So I guess I'm back to, I'll use that Mayor Weaver's analogy, the baseball analogy of, we don't have the grand slam with Measure D, but we'll continue to work hard with what we have, and we'll continue to do the base hits.
Okay, I'm here with Kurt Starman, city manager of Reading, and we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Home Helpers. If you're looking for in-home health care, whether it's short-term or long-term, you're not going to find any better than Sharon Clark in Home Helpers. Give her a call at 226-8350. If Bob Belongi had to go in-home and needed in-home health care, I would have Sharon Clark do it. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Jana, General Manager of the Historic Cascade Theater, inviting you to celebrate with us the perfect Valentine's event for you and your sweetheart. We are proud to present the silver screen classic Gone with the Wind, Sunday, February 12th. It's more than just a movie. It's a party. Come join us for live music, dancing, themed drinks, and a few surprises. Then enjoy the ultimate date night classic featuring three of Hollywood's greatest stars, winner of 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. Don't miss this rare opportunity to see Gone with the Wind on the big screen at the Cascade Theater. It's the perfect date night for your Valentine's weekend. Tickets are just $15 and can be purchased by calling the box office at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org. Don't miss it. Gone with the Wind, Sunday, February 12th at the Cascade Theater. Party starts at 2 p.m., film starts at 3 p.m. Hope to see you there.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite at 241-DISH. They got a great deal there. You can save $100 on your bill and $100 on a veteran's bill. Give them a call at 241-DISH and find out how. Doug Tooley, better known business. I'm here with Kurt Starman, who is our city manager for the next couple of months. Do you think the so you've given people 2 months to find somebody. Oh, two and a half. February, yeah. March, April. 3 months.
Three and a half. So, announced a week ago or so. And my
If they can't find anybody, will you stay on for a little while?
You know, I'm pretty confident they'll be able to find that. I intentionally gave the city council – hold on a second. I got a frog in my throat here. Hold
on. It's okay.
So, you know, I intentionally I've been with the city for a long time, and I understand it takes time to – for a position like that, it takes time to recruit. So I made my announcement last week, gave the city council plenty of time to do a recruitment. So my last day in the office is May 19th, so about 3.5 months out. The city council at its next meeting next week will talk about that recruitment process and how to go about that. But I'm pretty confident that's sufficient based upon experience.
Do you think that your replacement will come from within or outside?
You know, really, that's the city council's prerogative 100%. So I'll answer that just in 1 second. But let me just, for your audience's benefit, because there are different forms of government out there, both city, county, and just with amongst cities as well. So most cities in California, there's about 480 incorporated cities. About 470 have what's called the council manager form of government. It's based off the corporate model, where the city council is obviously the elected body that makes policy for the city, and then they hire a chief executive officer called the city manager. So the city council only hires and fires two positions. It's the city manager position and the city attorney position. So it's 100% their choice and their prerogative. What I would say in response to your question is that I think we have, number one, I think we just have an excellent leadership team with the city of Reading. And we'd certainly have, some individuals that would be excellent city managers, and I would expect that they would apply for the positions. But I also, my recommendation to the council will be, has been and will be on next week, is that we recruit widely, a nationwide search. We look for the best and the brightest. We get the best applicant pool possible, and then the city council picks the best person. If that's an external person, great. If it's internal, great. Man, woman, I think we look for the best person possible.
Well, that's a good answer. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Hi, Terry.
How are you doing, Kurt?
Well, thank you.
Good. Just got a couple of quick questions. One being, we had Chief Belletti come into the Patriot meeting around a month ago. He came in and spoke to 150 people. Of course, we film everything that happens there. And his comment was that he hired exactly 42 officers in his tenure so far. And 40 of those are lateral. Only two are not. And that's according to the chief, and that's what he said on record. So your comment was a little different than that. So that's what he told us anyway. That's number one.
Yeah, actually, let me I forgot to get back to Carl's point on that. So I think that sounds correct to me as well. We very rarely, and there's reasons for this, I can expand if you and Carl would like, but there's reasons why we prefer, actually, in most cases, to hire lateral officers. Then with regard to the CalPERS topic, it depends when someone started their career. So those that started their career in 2012 or earlier are typically, not always, but most times have a CalPERS retirement system that has greater benefits, oftentimes a 3% at 50 or 3% at 55 formula. And then, any officer that started their career in January 1, 2013 or after that date, including lateral officers that subsequently came to the city of Reading, they have a lesser program. And so for Reading, that is a 2.7% formula at age 57. So it depends when the individual or when the officer starts their career.
Well, he was asked if that could be a problem. He says it is a problem. So, again, we're kind of getting mixed messages on some things. The other thing is, too, I know you keep referring to our city council as a great bunch of people. With all the problems we have in Reading, and you certainly are privy to all of them, I know that you have to be engaged in everything. The answer to all this was to create a new logo because Francie Sullivan believes it would lift the pride of Reading. So I don't think that pride's going to stop the crack dealer. It's not going to stop the shootings. It's not going to stop the robberies. And really and truly, this is Carl hit the nail on the head with all the propositions, 57, 109, et cetera. And we have had many Second Amendment meetings, many meetings with the sheriff, many meetings with the police chief. These are the worst times, and I've been here for 45 years, that I have ever seen, and I think that probably 90% of the citizens in the city would say it's the worst times.
So let me give you, I appreciate that perspective, and I grew up here as well, so I have a long-term perspective on those issues also. So a couple things there. So one on the flag topic, I don't have a dog in the hunt, quite frankly. It's, you know, I'm indifferent on the topic. What I will say, though, because it's sort of symbolic of a bigger point, I guess, and you and I may part company on this, and I respect that. Yeah, for me, so it's kind of similar to something I said to Carl a little bit earlier when we first started, is that, you know, we definitely have some challenges and issues and some of the things you just mentioned, Terry, and we need to tackle those, you know, head on and forthrightly and put our best efforts toward that. But I think sometimes we get so focused on the negative that we lose sight of the bigger picture. And then I would add to that, sort of in response to the flag topic, I guess, in particular, is that, and just by way of a symbolic type issue, is that, you know, when you think about a community and what we look like today and 5 years from now and 50 years from now and beyond, it's really important to have balance. And I know it's easy and it's sometimes tempting to just, you know, put all your eggs in one basket and that's all you know, think about, care about, focus on. And so I don't want to make light of that. We have some significant issues that require
some challenges that require
attention. But we have to maintain some balance as well, because, you know, what makes a community special and a place that people want to live and they have pride in is that, you know, you have to have, in addition to all the things we talked about, you have to have, you know, a full city that has, you know, it's a place that people want to live and has the amenities and the attractions and the services that we all want for a beautiful community. So that's just, you know, my worldview on that. And you had a second point, and I forgot it. I apologize. And Carl's giving me the high score.
That's okay. We've got people lined up, and people on the chat room need to ask questions too. Thanks a lot, Terry. I have a question just on this one. Is after D failed, and it failed, it wasn't close, as we all know.
Yes.
Immediately after that, there was a raise for one of the department heads. I don't care who the department head is, really. But then there was an immediate raise of $1,000 a month.
Correct.
You're really big, and rightfully so, on perception. Because you're saying this perception is drives things. So if we perceive that our city is beautiful and all this, we have to push that out, that perception out. The perception was, when that raise was pushed through, that the city council, after being told, is that, hey, we don't trust you to spend the money that way, did that. Do you think that was a blow to any future tax raises or measures like that?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. So one is, you know, sort of what I described earlier in terms of our form of government, a council-manager form of government. So the city council is elected to represent the community and make the best decisions it can to serve the community, and, you know, both today and going forward. So, you know, that particular topic actually was two adjustments, wage increases, one for the director of community services position, one for the director of finance, which was more modest, I think $500 per month. Those particular changes were initiated by the council directly. You know, it didn't come from
– I know it didn't come from you.
I'm not trying to pass the buck. I'm just saying that came directly from the council, and they had their reasons, which they articulated in a public forum. It was obviously a divided vote, so it wasn't unanimous. It was a 3-2 vote. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll just wear my hat as city manager. That's, you know, why people elect council members to represent them. And, you know, I'm very respectful of the council manager form of government and the council's prerogative. And so, you know, I can certainly we collectively as a community can debate that. You know, just to be candid, probably going to step over the line just a little bit here. But I fully understand your point and the point of many others that the, you know, the perception there, the optics there are very poor. So I definitely understand that, and I can appreciate that perspective.
I'll do it for $8,000.
Do what?
That job. I think I called you and you said, but I had other people underbid me. Okay, look, here's the question here. Here's a good question.
Okay.
Is, all right, we need, we're having, you know, 12-minute response rate. And so what about, what's going to be cut to have, so we have more police? In other words, are parks – what's the priorities? Are parks more important than police and public safety and infrastructure? Are other things like that? Are those more important?
So it's I'll have a couple different ideas for you on that topic. So one is, I think when you look at sort of local government in particular in cities, you know, public safety is always paramount and at the top of the list. And I know the current council feels that way, as do I. Mm-hmm. And we spend, you know, today we spend about 70% of our general fund on public safety. So clearly, if you just kind of track the dollars, that's where we place the priority today, and certainly more resources would be valuable. So that's my first thought. My second thought is what I said earlier, as when Mr. Raposa called and we had a brief discussion on that topic, is that I also think, and I know, maybe, you know, others may disagree with this, but I think it's also important to have balance. And so I think it's an unhealthy community and an unhealthy city long term to put, you know, let's just say we just nix, close every park, wipe out our recreation programs, close the library, just totally just, mm-hmm. you know, wipe it out. You know, that would probably have some short-term, immediate, positive impacts. Long-term, or even mid-term, I think that would be a huge mistake. And we would have a community soon that, you know, that's a place that people don't want to live. When you don't have a park, you don't have trails, you don't have a library. So I think you have to be careful about that. And I think, for me, this is true in many areas of life, at least that's been my experience, is balance is important.
Feng Shui, and I understand that, and I think you're right. However, we have these beautiful—
You always had that, however. Okay, go ahead.
Wouldn't you agree? You know, I watch Tucker Carlson. Wouldn't you agree? When you start something like that, wouldn't you agree? But wouldn't you agree that the trails, that people are afraid to use the trails?
I think
so if they're afraid to use the trails, it does no good. Or if they can't take their kids to the park because they're afraid of running into needles and people out there. I mean, my God, the swimmers at our park here in our swimming pools, they're not coming back because they're being accosted by a bunch of derelict scumbags. I mean,
what I would say, I think those are real issues, and I definitely think people have some, you know, there are folks that have those concerns, and I understand that 100%. We've had some very disturbing stories of things that have occurred. I mean, they're limited, but they really resonate with people.
But they resonate with people.
They resonate with people, so I understand that. But I'm going to say what I said a moment ago. I don't think the solution is to close parks or, you know, lock up the trails or close the library. I don't think that's the solution. I think the solution is that we as a community continue to, you know, address those issues in a forthright way, and we do the very best we can. But I don't think the solution is to, you know, close up shop and just walk
circle
away.
Circle the wagons. It's
exactly.
Not time to circle the wagons yet.
That's
okay.
My perspective.
Let's take a quick break here, and so I can hose down the chat room a little bit. It's flames coming out. And we've got Nick and Randy. When we come back from this break, Nick and Randy, I'll get you on, I promise. We'll be right back with Kurt Starman.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Seck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
It's Lady Bot and the Bluebirds in Overtime Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino, Thursday, February 2nd, from 6:30 to 8:30. Join me, Linda Bott, as I sing my favorite jazz standards, featuring Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Verimontis on drums, and Joe Larson on trombone. That's February 2nd from 6:30 to 8:30 in Overtime Lounge. See you there.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bach. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club on the corner of Cypress and Eureka. You're not going to find a better club to join. It's got everything in there. Give them a call, 768-1205. It's where Linda and I go to. It explains Linda's fabulous figure. We're here with Kurt Starman, our retiring city manager.
You can say that about Linda. I can't, but
okay.
We're missing your better half today, that's for sure.
Well, I tell you what, she's got this, you know, anyway, let's move on.
I know. Linda, if you're listening, I hope you feel better.
Yeah, she's singing tomorrow. Okay, let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
It is a good morning. Hey, Kurt, I wanted to congratulate you on your retirement.
Thank you, Nick.
And to tell the public that every time I've called you, or emailed you, you got back to me within a half hour, 45 minutes, pointed me in the right direction, and we usually had a solution. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick. I really appreciate that. And, you and I have worked on many topics over the years. I always appreciate you as well.
Hey, I wanted to say that yesterday at the Crime Watch meeting, I brought up the fact that the Wind River Casino, they're going to build and everything. I asked if there's going to be any taxes coming to city, sales tax or bed tax, and the answer was no. And it just really leaves a sour taste in my mouth that the public is stuck with the infrastructure and any other charges that go along with something like that. And, you know, there's ongoing charges with police and that kind of stuff. Of course, it's a sovereign nation, but when they get in a bind, you know who comes and bails them out.
Yep, I take your point. Actually, let me clarify the infrastructure piece just a moment or two. But, we did have a discussion at the Reading Merchants Crime Watch meeting. Nick asked that question as well. So today, just for the today's audience's benefit, of course, the Reading Rancheria today, its current location is a sovereign nation, and they're in the process right now of working with the Bureau of Indian Affairs on the property that fronts on I-5 just south of the city of Reading limits. And their intent is to, it's a term of art called to convert that from fee to trust, which ultimately would enable them to build and operate a casino at that location. So as I said yesterday, really, the city of Reading, we've had an outstanding partnership with the Rancheria over the years. They've been very good partners, and I'm sure that'll be the case going forward as well. But to Nick's point, his question yesterday, that property today is in just outside of the city of Reading. It's in the unincorporated Shasta County. If the process of fee to trust happens, it will then become a sovereign nation. And so the county will not receive any direct tax revenue from that project, nor will the city. But with regard to infrastructure, they do have the Rancheria and the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They do need to go through an environmental review process, which includes mitigation. And so obviously that project will have an impact on traffic in particular and various intersections and interchanges. And so on the infrastructure piece, I will say that it's likely out of the environmental process they will be required to help with some infrastructure to help facilitate that. That would come out of that environmental review process.
They said it's like a two-year process when Gary Hayward was here last week, yep. Nick. So, yeah, I think that they're planning on this, having to do all that. Thanks a lot, Nick. Okay.
No, I've got a question.
Well,
how about the Wind River Mini Mart down there? Are they paying any taxes? Do they pay the city of Reading sales taxes? Are they exempt also? Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
And actually, that's a good point. So, businesses, so the Rancheria owns other businesses, outside of their current property where the casino is located. Those are not trust properties. So the gas station or the Hilton Garden Inn is a good example as well. Those are, private property, just like you or I would own private property. They're subject to property tax, sales tax, bed tax for the hotel. So they do pay taxes on that type of investment property.
Okay. We asked that question earlier. I don't know if I came back to it. It's how the economics or the amount of money that Reading's bringing in. Is it steady, static, going down, going up very fast?
So we're certainly seeing some improvement, but it's been modest. What I'll say, kind of 3 points of comparison would be sort of pre-Great Recession. So
right.
We had those go-go years of the early 2000s up through about 2006 or 7. We had the very difficult years for the private sector and public sector, from 2008. Really through today, quite frankly, in some ways.
Quite frankly, yes.
But certainly the depth of the recession in 2009, 10, and 11. I'd say in the last couple of years, we're seeing some improvement. So if we looked at some key economic indicators from a local perspective, things that I track closely would be, so let's talk about sales tax revenue. Nick just asked about that in a particular context. But sales tax revenue is an important revenue source for the city of Reading. When you pay your 7.5 cents at the cash register, the city gets one of those pennies, but they add up to, a considerable amount of revenue that pays for police and fire and other service. So we are seeing some modest growth in sales tax revenue. It tends to, fluctuate, but it's, I will say just to, so we're seeing some growth. Which is a positive thing, but just to put that in perspective, today in 2017, we still, as of 2017, have not hit the same high water mark that we had prior to the recession. So we're still have not returned to pre-recession levels.
10% under, 20% under?
We're getting actually pretty close right now, but that's not adjusted for inflation, just sort of today's number versus 2006.
Okay.
We're getting pretty close to being, you know, kind of right at that mark, but if you actually adjust it for inflation, we're still a ways
way down
off. Property tax, similar to that, you know, we're seeing some growth there as well. Again, not robust growth, but growth, which is positive. Actually, a bright spot for us has been transient occupancy tax or hotel tax, which is a good indicator of business travel and tourism. Actually, we've been seeing pretty strong growth in that area, in the 6% and 7% growth year over year, which is pretty robust.
Well, especially with I think it's got to do with water too. In the lakes.
Multiple factors.
Let's go to it. Randy. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl. I have a problem. Back on the 20th, that was inauguration day. Anyway, on the 19th, I was going to the doctor and drove by the big flag flying there, and it was all tore up. Anyway, so I went to the bottom and looked at the plaques there and seen, the council, Reading City Council. So I called them on the 19th and said the flag's all tore up there. Are they going to, who can I get a hold of to see if inauguration day the next day? Anyway, somebody at I called the city manager, and somebody named Terry or Jerry, whoever it was that answered the phone, I asked him, he said the Lions Club, and I asked him for the number, and he said, oh, I got a direct line to the Lions Club. And I said, you'll call them and let them know that tomorrow is going to be a big day. It should be a good flag. And the flag, anyway, he said, no, I got a direct line. Anyway, I went there Friday after your show, and the same flag was there. The wind wasn't blowing, so it wasn't going to, the new one wasn't going to be tore up. Anyway, same ripped flag, and I thought, man, anyway, that's all I got to say, hear this pride about whatever, and they can't put a good, fresh flag up there for the inauguration. It's just beyond me.
So, Randy, let me tell you, I don't know with whom you spoke. I don't recognize either of those two names you mentioned, but I'm confident that if they told you they'd do so, they made a telephone call. We actually have a wonderful partnership, and I want to actually give some props and kudos to the Enterprise Lions Club. That was a completely volunteer project that was funded by the community. The city of Reading actually did contribute early on to provide some significant seed funding, but that site is maintained by the Enterprise Lions Club. I think they do a wonderful job, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So I give my gratitude for all they do for our community. They really have stepped up on that.
That was one of the biggest days in history,
Okay. Hey, Randy, thanks a lot.
Okay,
we only got like 3 minutes left here. Our economy is really hadn't even reached where it was in 2006. The question is, yet the salaries in the management keep going up. Should they stay down? One of the things that I think that bothered people last year was, and that one person we talked about, but it was had 8% raises before the $1,000 a month. When everybody that's on military retirement or Social Security, they got no cost of living last year. It was zero.
So that's a big topic, obviously. In 3 minutes, I'll try to do the best I can to summarize that. So I'll give you kind of a couple things. So one is, I think it's important to take into account, I guess, there's been a number of reductions on the benefit side, although that number continues to increase primarily because of CalPERS and the statewide pension system. But just by way of example, we've done a number of things on the benefit side to reduce cost to, the city as an employer, but ultimately to the taxpayer. So we have, for example, all of our employees now non-public safety contribute 7% out of their paycheck toward their pension system. Public safety now contributes 12%. That wasn't the case just a few years ago. We've implemented a two-tiered medical program with lesser benefits, and if you want the better plan, you now have to pay a premium out of your paycheck for that purpose. So we made a number of changes on the benefit side in particular in recognition. Of course, you'll recall, and your audience will recall, we went through several years during the depth of the recession with a mandatory furlough program, which essentially was a 10% wage cut for all of our employees at City Hall, including managers and directors as well. So we've done a lot during that time frame, but more can be done. Then the second piece I'd add is that for me, it's just as an employer, as a chief executive officer for an organization, our labor partners sort of get grumpy when I describe it this way because it's a bit crass, but I have an economics background. And to me, it's really an issue of supply and demand. And, our goal is to hire you know, great people with the requisite skills to do the job well and serve our community well, and then retain them. And so it's always that balancing act of, you know, what do those market forces look like? And so for me, that's always when I, if you kind of just drill down at the bottom line for me, that's my analysis is, you know, kind of a supply and demand equation.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for, and, you know, you have to be, you know, at least mindful of market forces.
Okay. Kurt Starman. Got a lot done here in 45
we
minutes.
We covered
buddy.
Some ground. Good job.
Well, and you know what? You never back off. Sometimes you go around in a circle and we have to go back. And, you know, you draw the picture. You draw the picture, and that's not wrong. You draw the picture, you know, before we go in there.
Sure.
That's what Linda says. You got to draw the picture first. We got a couple more months. I would love to have you come back a few more times before you leave. And I understand you're going to go to law school.
You know, I'm probably about 99% sure I'm going to do that. So it's just something that I've always had an interest in. And so I'm looking at some different options. And that's the goal right now this fall.
You know what's black and brown looks great on lawyers? Rottweiler. So
on that high note, we'll leave it there. Thanks, Carl.
Talk to you later. Thanks a lot, Kurt, for being on. Hey, right after this, we're going to have Larry Lees and David Kehoe. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Judge Neil Gorsuch is President Trump's selection for the U.S. Supreme Court.
The president unveiled his high court selection in a primetime White House announcement.
The qualifications of Judge Gorsuch are beyond dispute.
He said Gorsuch is the right man for the job and someone the country needs.
And needs badly to ensure the rule of law and the rule of justice.
Gorsuch was appointed to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals by President George W. Bush and is viewed as a favorite of religious conservatives. Greg Clugston, The White House.
And one of those conservatives in favor of the nominee is Liberty Counsel founder Matt Staver, who says that the judge has demonstrated wisdom on a lot of different levels.
He has already written some good decisions, but his judicial philosophy also seems to be critical as well, and he's expressed that on several occasions.
Winning praise from colleagues like University of Colorado Law School professor Melissa Hart, who says she doesn't always agree with the judge, but he seems to listen to arguments carefully before making decisions.
I think he thinks about things hard and considers really where the parties are situated and what the consequences will be. So I may not agree with the outcome he reaches, but I believe he'll go through an honest and serious process to get there.
A Senate committee has approved President Trump's selection for Health and Treasury Secretaries. After majority Republicans suspended some of the panel's rules, it could have caused delays. The Senate Finance Committee approved Georgia Congressman Tom Price to become Health Secretary and financier Steve Mnuchin to serve as Treasury Secretary. Both were by 14-0 votes, with no Democrats participating. The Mexican government says it will open a 90-day consultation period with private business groups about possible changes to the North American Free Trade Agreement. President Trump wants to renegotiate NAFTA, a trade pact with Mexico and Canada in operation since 1994. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Consult your tax professional before investing. Let me ask you a question. Can you keep your 401k or IRA safe from the death of the dollar, continued rampant Fed spending, political corruption, and from the possible new Cold War with Russia? If you answered no, then listen up. Fortunes are going to be made and lost over the next few months. It's time you took action. Over 50,000 people have requested our Gold IRA investment guide to learn how to protect their retirement savings. Now it's your turn. We are Advantage Gold, the number one rated gold IRA company in America by TrustLink. Right now, we are giving away a free copy of our new Gold IRA protection guide to anyone with an IRA, 401k, or retirement account that is over the age of 55. Just call 1-800-900-8000 right now, and we will help teach you how to keep your retirement savings away from the government and safe in your pocket. Just call today at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Representatives are standing by. Call 800-900-8000 today.
There were clashes today between protesters and Israeli police trying to evacuate settlers from an illegal West Bank outpost known as Amona. We get more from the BBC's Yolanda Nell.
Many of the 50 or so Israeli families who've been living in Amona remained in their homes as bulldozers approached. They've been joined by hundreds of supporters. Many are confronting the lines of Israeli police, acting on a high court order. The demolition of Amona has proven highly divisive for Israel's governing coalition, which includes members who strongly support settlements. Ahead of this demolition, the government announced plans for 3,000 new settlement homes in the West Bank.
This is BBC's Yolanda Nell reporting. The city of New York and its police union have reached a tentative agreement for the first time in 5 years, including higher pay for community officers and raises for officers who wear body cameras, something that will be mandatory for all by the year 2019. More from townhall.com. The Army Corps of Engineers has been ordered to allow construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline to proceed under a disputed Missouri River crossing.
Acting Secretary of the Army Robert Speer has directed the Army Corps of Engineers to proceed with an easement necessary to complete the pipeline. The crossing under Lake Oahe, a wide section of the Missouri River in southern North Dakota, is the final big portion of work on the four-state $3.8 billion pipeline to carry North Dakota oil through South Dakota and Iowa to Illinois. The pipeline has been the target of months of protests led by the Standing Rock Sioux, whose reservation lies near the pipeline's route and who have argued that it's a threat to water in the area. Jeremy House reporting.
Some encouraging news and a strong earnings report from Apple helping to send stocks mostly higher in early trading. Apple jumped 5% in early trading, the biggest gain in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's down a little bit today. She's going to be singing tomorrow night in overtime at Wind River, and she'll be there from 6:30 to 8:30. And so I think it's better for her to make sure that she can her voice is good there instead of getting in here today and getting the throat strikes that we do with all the politicians we have come through here. Good morning, everybody. Phone lines here, 605-456. I'm just kidding, of course. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. It's 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and Bad Bob, what's the weather look like here?
Well, it looks like we got some wet weather coming up for the next several days. Clouds will be moving in tonight, and then rain off and on throughout the rest of the week. We could see totals accumulating up to about 5-6 inches, and snow will drop down into the foothills, so we're going to add to that ever-popular snowpack. Shasta Lake is being dropped fairly rapidly to make room for all this incoming water. We are at about 37 feet from the top. Right now in Reading, 40 degrees. This report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Shasta Gas Propane, where their customers are warm friends. Veteran-owned business with discounts for seniors and veterans. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Greatest deals, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading with a watch repairman that can fix anything. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. After Kurt Starman, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I understand y'all were together yesterday, and that's when we found out that I had triple booked Wednesday. I mean, it's rare that I do this, but things just kind of fall into that. Kurt was asked like 10 days ago,
yeah.
and his assistant was really good. And then all of this happened, and I reached out to you all on the board and Larry Lease, and you all responded and said, "Yeah, we're going to come in. We need to talk about, especially since the ARC went away and all the other stuff, and the strike." Now, the strike, you can't talk about individual things, parts about the strike.
Right, and that's one thing. One thing I will not do is bargain over the radio or bargain in the newspaper. But obviously, you know, very concerned about what is happening, and certainly we want to bring this to a conclusion as quickly as possible. We've got almost a thousand employees out there, and Carl, these are good people.
I mean,
good people that are serving the public every day. There's been, I think, a little bit of miscommunication, but we've got a meeting set today. I will be available for that meeting, and we want to get this wrapped up and make it a fair settlement to these folks, because they're putting their heart on the line for our community in the services that they provide. And so the board wants to move as quickly as possible. I want to move as quickly as possible. And that's why you talk about double book. There's actually another bargaining that's beginning today with another unit. And we kind of added this additional, I'll call it a emergency meeting, or urgent meeting, so that we can also see if we can't get to a very quick resolution.
Okay, that was Larry Lees. Of course, we have David Kehoe here. Good morning, David. Thanks for joining us.
Top of the morning to you,
Top
Carl.
Of the morning to you.
Let me add to one of the things that Larry said earlier. Yesterday at the board meeting, we heard from 22, 23 employees. They were sincere. They were passionate. They were to the point. They were well-mannered. And we really appreciate that.
Okay. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Susan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good morning, Susan.
Well, good morning. Well, let's turn to the markets. Major averages are mixed ahead of the February Fed meeting this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 20 points at 19,884. The S&P 500 is down 2 points at 2,276. The NASDAQ Composite gaining 18 points at 5,633. Active stocks on the NASDAQ, Apple up $6.96, trading at $128.27. Micron Tech up 42 cents at $24.52. And Facebook positive 56 cents at $130.92. Local stocks of interest, PG&E down $1.06, trading at $60.82. AT&T up 2 pennies at $42.17. Comcast positive 30 cents at $75.73. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is price yield 2.49%. And over to commodities, gold is up $1.40 an ounce at $1,213. Silver down 11 cents at $17.52 per ounce. And crude oil, positive 44 cents, trading at $53 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, thank you so much. Susan is the first vice president for investments over at Wells Fargo Advisors. She knows what she's talking about. She makes a great, great deals for her clients. She's really a super person, too. I did not see her name. It was, you know, so I made her wait till Larry Lees got finished, which just could have been forever. But her phone number is 530-243-7561. Please give her a call. She's great people.
This must be the Carl Bott comedy show.
Yeah, I tell you what. When we heard about the art, this comedy show went down. Okay. Well, okay, let's get back to the strike here. Okay, there was, as you know, we had two of the, we had Steve Allen and Chris Darker on the other day. And I realize you can't talk about specifics, but what I brought up, there was 11 grievances, I guess you could say, that were brought up. And the arbitrator came in, he looked at all of them, and he said, 8 of these, no. He said 3 of them. One of them was for a safety committee. One of them was about the $51 per month, 26 per payday for their health care.
Yeah.
And that was seemed like the big sticking one right there. So the when that couldn't be abridged, the strike started. Do you think this is something that is – because you're absolutely right. The people that are out there striking, well, everybody. I mean, those are the ones – those are our lowest paid people there. Yeah. And they're the ones – I mean, they're the ones that are doing the – they're kind of like – I look at them as the PFCs and the Lance Corporals in the military. That, you know, they're not even NCOs because they're not managers. You know?
Well, I look at them as more important than that.
Well, no, but you know, I mean, they're the ones that do the work. I mean, they're down there, and sometimes.
Well, you know, and more important than that, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is.
You know,
they're the ones outside the wire.
I'm not going to mention any names, but I had an employee call me late yesterday afternoon, and was explaining to me the nature of her function. Of very specifically, she was very sincere, very honest, and you know, I don't know that I fully understood exactly what was happening, and so I appreciate her. Nobody I knew personally. She just called me, and I really appreciated the fact that she took the time to call me to say, "Let me just explain to you." And it was good information for me to have.
Well, frankly. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Well, Carl, maybe there's a value in setting the stage relative to the 2 points that you brought up.
Okay.
Namely, the safety and then the $56. And so why don't we ask Larry to kind of give the same background that he gave yesterday at the board meeting, because I think it's valuable.
I don't want to do that. That was not received well yesterday. I was actually trying to provide a little bit of background
We have background from one side, we need background from the other side. That's what we're about here.
Well, again, I don't want to get in bargaining, but I can explain. There was actually, as you say, three issues that were brought up. One of the issues have to do with, and I'm just going to very high level, has to do with new employee, new union member orientation, not on county time. It would be on union time. So that was one of the issues that were brought up. One of the issues was
because they wanted to have be able to have the new employees be talked to by a union rep, but not on county time.
Correct.
Okay.
And one of the issues was, of course, this fee we're talking about or this cost. And then the – and I'll talk about that in just a second. Then one of the issues was the safety committee.
The safety committee.
Right. And so, again, to explain the function of the cost, the cost that is paid if is to offset the retiree health care premium. So the money that is paid is to offset the retiree health care premium. And I, again, I'm not going to go into any more detail.
Well, it was.
That,
they said it was. It's like $650,000 a year.
That's correct.
Yeah,
yeah that would.
I mean,
be
that that's $650,000 a year. That would be. Yeah, but that's how much they pay.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what that is.
That yeah.
Okay, and then and she's safety. So okay, that was what you said. Those three. Those, that 2 minutes. That's what you said to the board.
No, I actually I went further and explained the cost of the retiree health care and made reference to the you know the other things that were a part of the items we had already agreed upon.
Okay.
But that's what I you know I like I say I you know we've got a meeting planned for this afternoon. Like I said, I am optimistic that we're going to come to a quick resolution that will be fair for all.
Dave, do y'all do you get involved in this too?
We have negotiators mm-hmm. that the board has entrusted with these important matters.
Okay,
it's a group decision, Carl. Board decision that rather than having five individuals on the board,
that makes sense.
Okay.
No, that perfectly makes sense.
I got it.
You are the ones that make the final decision.
Right, that's correct.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Correct.
Cool. Hey, we got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, best in the North State. This is who we picked to do our HVAC. They you know guarantees they're great people, veteran owned business. They treat you like family. They can't get any better than Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at comfort.org. We'll be right back with David Kehoe, Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and Larry Lee's Chief Executive Officer, who is running out the door. I know you'll be back, though. Okay. Leaving David by himself. We'll be right back.
What if you...
Hi, this is Jana, General Manager of the historic Cascade Theater, inviting you to celebrate with us the perfect Valentine's event for you and your sweetheart. We are proud to present the silver screen classic Gone with the Wind, Sunday, February 12th. It's more than just a movie. It's a party. Come join us for live music, dancing, themed drinks, and a few surprises. Then enjoy the ultimate date night classic featuring three of Hollywood's greatest stars, winner of 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture. Don't miss this rare opportunity to see Gone with the Wind on the big screen at the Cascade Theater. It's the perfect date night for your Valentine's weekend. Tickets are just $15 and can be purchased by calling the box office at 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org. Don't miss it. Gone with the Wind, Sunday, February 12th at the Cascade Theater. Party starts at 2 p.m., film starts at 3 p.m. Hope to see you there.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar Energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. It's 40 degrees out there, going up to 57 a day. The rain's going to start and the snow tonight, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. You're going to get like three inches of rain here, so enjoy it while you can. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. You're not going to find a better place to buy guns, ammo, have your guns worked on. John Bastiani's gone national with his fix on the AR rifles that you can this simple fix he has that drops open the upper receiver from the lower receivers, drops the magazine so you can reload quickly. It's a again, you know, somebody's ideas that come to fruition. Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Head on down there. Go on and talk to John.
You want this?
And, okay. We have with us David Kehoe, who is supervisor of 1st District here of Shasta County, and Larry Lees, chief executive officer. We talked about the strike. We have people on the line. We'll get to them in just a second. Now, yesterday in the I guess this kind of is all the same thing. So I want to talk about, you know, kind of in line here. The Measure D failed miserably.
Crushed.
Yeah, that's a good word, crushed. After that, and that was going to be the home run that
Brent Weaver,
that Brent Weaver's talking about. Okay, so we're going to have to start scratching out some singles and being very aggressive running the bases.
Right.
But then, follow up to that, the ARC, the Adult Rehabilitation Center, crashes.
Right.
So, as we all know, we are up to our keisters in bad guys. What's the plan?
The plan B that I've heard referenced a lot.
Right.
So, it was actually, I'll call it the trifecta. You know, you had all these things come about around the same time, some of them not predicted. But if you want to go to why, we could do that. If you want to talk about what Plan B is, I could give you some ideas. You know, I'll steal Mayor Weaver's line about the singles and, you know, stringing together hits. We are doing that, and I could share with you some examples. But, I mean, nobody is more concerned about not being able to go through with the Adult Rehabilitation Center than the Board of Supervisors and myself and the sheriff, of course. But we just cannot spend money we don't have.
No. I mean, I looked at it like this. You know, when I'm talking to the union guys, I say, okay, there's money in the budget, but what are the priorities
right.
for this?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, David. Is we as a community, since and these things are outside our ken, is things like 90. You know, what was it? Prop 90.
109,
I'm sorry, 47 and yeah. now 57. So yeah. that was outside. So we have to put people in there. So we have a good police force. We have a good sheriff's department. They're arresting these people. They're arresting some of them 40 times. We have no place to put them. So, I mean, everybody agrees to that. We're sending people out as fast as we can, as the sheriff says. They only take the best, of the worst. So what is the Board of Supervisors? I mean, I know that we don't have a lot of money in the general budget that isn't already spoken for. So much of the money, from what I understand, except maybe, 13%, 14%, is already spoken for?
I like to call it the discretionary money.
Right.
That money that we have flexibility to spend it wherever
right.
we want. Most of the money in a county budget, and this is very different than a city budget, most of the money in a county budget is designated for particular state programs. Because the state really is just, I mean, the county is just an arm of the state. So the majority of those dollars are that.
Okay.
So the flexibility that we have is about, it might be 15-20%. It depends.
Okay.
Because we do have a little bit of discretion there. You know, we could say, okay, we're not going to pay the maintenance of effort or what the state's requiring on this program, and we'll let that program go away. So we can do things like that.
Got it. Okay,
Carl,
so Dave.
Excuse me.
No, that's what I was going to say.
I wish you could have been with us last night. Larry and I and others on the board attended the Day Reporting Center graduation. Are you familiar
with
that?
Yeah, I am very familiar with that. Yeah.
They graduated 16 individuals who are making significant progress in their lives. The recidivism rate is relatively low. So that's one thing that we have done as a county to put money in that operation. In the last week or so, we've also attended the Addicted Offender graduation, where people are turning their lives around. I think you know, and others know in this community, that prevention rehabilitation is of paramount importance.
Absolutely.
And we're really going in that direction. And then Larry attended the behavioral health court graduation and reentry graduation. They have 100% success rate up there.
So 100%. Those are two specialty, and I guess this is the hit, you know, the base hits that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But Monday morning, we're in the Judge Gall's court where these programs have been going on for about 2 years now, and it's the Behavioral Health Court and the Reentry Court. Then we have the Addicted Offender separate. But in these two courts that have been going on for 2 years, zero recidivism rate. Now, I'm not naive. It's early yet. And we're not talking about hundreds of people. I mentioned this yesterday. We're not I wish it could be hundreds of people. I wish it could be thousands. But you take six people, and of course, we've got, I think, about maybe 18 total over the 2 years of these two courts. And they're at risk, by the way, right now with the state budget, with what's going on with realignment.
I understand.
And unfortunately for the courts, they cannot get judges appointed up here in Shasta County, and that's a real headache for them because they can't serve as much as they'd like to. But 100%, you know, success, zero recidivisms, and we track that. Now, with the Day Reporting Center, there is a little higher recidivism rate. But out of these people, out of those that have gone through the program, and this has been about 3 years, this program, we've had about 96, 98 graduate. We're just bumping up on 100 individuals.
Okay.
Let me just say one more thing, though. 96% of these people who have graduated are employed and or going to school. We have them with college degrees, AA degrees and things like that. So the success rate is there. So we are stringing together these base hits. We're not resting on our laurels and say, well, you know, Measure D didn't pass, so we're not going to do anything. We're going to continue to do these things that are turning people around.
And I think nobody's arguing that. Nobody at all. And,
okay.
and I've seen these. And I see what they can do. And I've seen the things where they want to send people from the jail itself out to Shasta College and, you know, and get people back into society. I'm all for a sobering center. I'm all for something like that, that people can be just dropped off there and then move it from that part. But right now, we're in no position for that. So when we've got people being arrested 40 times, I think what Paletti said was they arrested 100 people 1,500 times or something like that. It was one of those things. And they can't get them in there and because they're not being kept, so they don't come to trial, so you can't get them into the programs that are a success. We've got people not using the trails. We've got people in the parks, as you know, that the down there in the swimming, as I just pointed out to Kurt Starman, that you know, the coaches are saying, don't come down here. It's not safe, you know, for these swim meets. We have that here. Now, as much as we love Shasta County and Redding, we've got all this stuff happening. So what can we do to find – is there anything – let me put it this way. Is there anything that the supervisors have come up with to be able to do something about housing prisoners temporarily?
Well, we do have contracts. We signed a contract yesterday with Del Norte County to export some of the prisoners from Shasta County to this other county. We also have two or three other agreements with other counties. So there is that option. It seems to me that there's also an option of electronic monitoring. Maybe we can increase that. You'd have to talk to Vasenko about that. I think people have come to the realization, Carl, that government can't provide the answers to everything. It's a cooperative relationship, and I think that that the observation that I would make is that elected officials at whatever level don't have a monopoly on good ideas. And what has to happen is those of us in elected position have to be open. We have to question the status quo, see if there's a different way of doing business. And I think that's the direction we're going to at the Board of Supervisors. Let's hear from people. Larry and I and others went to the Crime Watch meeting yesterday afternoon. There's a high energy level out there. People are talking about a cooperative relationship between government and the private sector. Personally, I'm getting a bit weary of the negativity that is pressing itself down on our community.
Do you see where maybe that's coming from?
Oh, absolutely. And where's it coming from? There is a crisis of confidence right now in our community.
I think that's, you know what? I think that's true. I think that's what happened with your Measure D.
Yeah.
Is that they don't believe it. Now, before we take a break, and Peter, sure. I'm so sorry, I'll get to you right after the break here, Peter, is there's a book called The Coming Jobs War. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. It's the guy that runs the Gallup organization. I was introduced to this by the EDC 4 years ago by Hope Seth. What it says is, it's the community business leaders that will move things forward. Kind of what you're saying, that a lot of times in the bureaucracies you get your hands tied, or you know your elected officials are having to move within a certain venues, but that the community leaders, the business people, have to push ideas forward. What you're saying is essentially that. Have you and the rest of the Board of Supervisors said, look, we want to have a meeting, we want to have representatives from this, how can we move forward? You know, I mean, an official meeting where you're bringing in some very successful people because, you know, in this community, we have very successful people, as we all know.
Sure.
To bring them in from different groups and say, you know, today we're having a forum, and it's going to be, but you know what, it's going to be a close-held forum. It's not 1,000 people there, at least to start something. And then to move out from there. I mean, I agree with you. Yeah. You guys don't have the answers. The city council obviously doesn't have the answers because this is where we're at. So if there is an answer, at least if nothing else, you can at least get everybody else's, of proven leaders.
Carl, the key to that approach is you've got to transform rhetoric into action.
That's right.
And there's no point in getting all these people together if you aren't committed to change. Well, the status quo isn't working.
Well, that's right. So it's got to be you and the Board of Supervisors that say, you come, you know what, we're obviously we're stymied right now.
Right?
Is that fair to
say? Oh, I think there were a lot of positive ideas that came out of the blueprint.
Yeah. But we're stymied right now because of money and all this. So what are your ideas? And we, as Board of Supervisors and the City Council, we are pledged to move these forward. I mean, that way, you know, that's the only way there's going to be change, right?
Let me make an observation. One of the most successful programs that the sheriff has in Shasta County is what? And the answer is, he has a very effective, efficient volunteer program. When he meets over in the Veterans Hall to recognize the volunteers, there are hundreds of volunteers there on a lot of different levels. Why can't that idea be exported to other jurisdictions in the county?
I think that's a great idea. I think hiring a rent-a-cop, if you want to use that term, to drive up and down the their set of eyes. They could be two of them in a golf cart, because I know we could probably get golf carts from the golf courses, and drive up and down the river trail. At least you've got somebody's eyes on the place. And yet, when this comes up, it's like, ugh. But I agree with you. But okay. You, as our elected leaders, when these ideas come up, you've got to say, great, let's charge forward. And that's absolutely what we need. Okay, let's take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Dandelion Boutique. This is a place, for, guys, if you want to find the right gift. It's Valentine's Day, right? Valentine's Day coming up. Dandelion Boutique, 1322 Pine Street. I'm saving you a lot of trouble and heartache right here.
I'm writing the address.
I'm telling you, 1322 Pine Street. They've got
the address
it.
Down.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Don't let your friends call the 800 number.
Call our daddy and the guys at B&T Satellite
for local dish installation and service.
Hi, folks. This is Doug Tooley. There's no greater friend than our veterans. At B&T Satellite, we would like to honor their sacrifice by offering a special deal for vets with DISH. But we need your help. Here's how it works. Don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474 and let us know about your friend that is a veteran. And when they sign up for DISH, you will get $100 off your service, and one of our honored veterans will also receive $100 off of their bill. We are a local authorized DISH dealer, a veteran-owned business. We live here, we work here, and we want to honor our local veterans with this special offer. That's 241-DISH. For more information, please call us at 241-3474. Check us out online at btsatellite.com, like us at Facebook at BT Satellite, or check out our Yelp reviews.
National news with a local view, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 24 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock here. On the 1st of February 2017, 44 degrees going up to 57 a day. It's going to be rainy tonight and rainy for the next 3 days. Getting ready for Super Bowl next week, too. Oh, really? It's going to go all the way through, huh?
Yeah, we're not going to get much of a break now.
Okay, so it's changed out. We're getting more and more. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, best place in the world to get a haircut. Discounts for seniors and veterans, veteran-owned business, man's last stronghold. We're here with David Kehoe, supervisor of the 1st District for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and Larry Lees, chief executive officer. Let's go to the phones. Peter, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning, Peter. Hi, Peter.
My favorite guys on the radio. Listen, I'm near crying in my coffee here and screwing up on my Sudoku, which is the only thing I use, I buy the paper for. You know, you're talking about all these poor homeless people and everything else. You know, you got to remember, you guys, and look, I don't mean to be offensive, you know that, but I'm so sick and tired of, you guys taking care of the wrong people. You guys live off the taxpayer. These 1,000 people striking live off the taxpayer. From a private sector point of view, those 1,000 people, as far as I'm concerned, are white-collar welfare people. Larry Lee says, you know, they don't have the money to hand out to these people, but he's going to fold like he always does and take money that we don't have and give it to them. I'd just like to point out what's happening in the private sector pension. In the automotive, their pensions are being cut from to 66%. They're going from 1,400 to 1,500 down to 515 and 588. That's a fair whack. In the grocery pension, it's the same in the private sector in California. In the carpenters, it's around 30. This is happening in the private sector with our pensions that we spent 30 or 40 years building up. Now, you guys, all you keep doing is giving these white-collar welfare people higher pays and higher pensions. And, you know, I really don't think you guys could muster 8 ounces of fortitude between the lot of you to say no to them.
Okay.
I love you all, and you know that, but
Peter.
I am so sick and tired of it.
Okay, Peter, got it. So you've got some really good points. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Yeah, he does. And
I mean, they are. I mean, in the private sector, they're cutting back, and here it just keeps getting more and more.
Well, and I appreciate Peter's perspective, but obviously I will officially disagree. These are not people that are on white collar, welfare. These are people that are providing services.
Right.
You could argue whether they should or shouldn't. That's a topic for a different day. But the reality is, you know, these people that are out there demonstrating because of what they perceive as fair treatment have an absolute right to do that. And these are, like I said before, these are good, strong workers. I did want to correct one thing that Peter said, and that is that, you know, Larry Lee's will fold and give them money we don't have. I will never spend money we don't have. I will not borrow, and I will never spend money we don't have. That will never be my recommendation.
Well, let's go back to something else he said, though.
Okay.
And this, and I know, Dave, that you're in, you listen to a lot of people. You're always, all of y'all are always available. The fact is that in the private sector, there are being cuts back because you can't do it. As we know, I mean, Shasta County is not anywhere near where we were before 2006, right? 2007? We're not anywhere near there, especially if you throw in the inflation factor.
Right.
So yet the retirements and all this stuff and healthcare keeps going up for the management and all this when it doesn't for the people out there. How can we continue to do that, especially with the cost of CalPERS increasing?
So again, respectfully disagree.
Wouldn't you agree?
No, respectfully disagree, and let me tell you why. Even these folks that are on the line today have actually cut 7% from their wages. You know, the Shasta County, these are the labor partners that were first to pay the 100% of the employee portion of the PERS pension. Shasta County was the first. 7% of their salary, they started paying first. 9% for the public safety unit. So they have taken cuts, actually. And the other part of it is most have agreed to go to what we call as a 401A program, which is going to temper those health care benefits upon retirement. When that happens, though, there's a $180 million gap out there right now. Within 25, 30 years, it's going to completely erase that gap. The Board of Supervisors came to me and said, Larry, this is unsustainable. We don't want it. Do something about it.
The 401A is another retirement plan plus the retirement plan they have, right?
No. It's one or the other. And we're talking health care.
Yeah, but
401A is health care.
401A doesn't have to be used for health care.
Correct.
So it's just another retirement plan.
But they don't get health care then.
Okay.
They don't get both.
Okay, so in the retirement, that includes their health care.
So there's two aspects of retirement. There's pension,
right.
And then there's health care.
Right.
If they opt in for, well, first of all new employees have no choice.
They have no choice.
They have to go into the 401A.
Right.
Existing employees can choose to go into 401A.
Right.
if you opt in the 401A, you no longer get retiree health care.
Okay. So they can use that for health care or whatever they want.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
All right. So you're saying is that, hey, look, yeah, even though that the private sector is going down, you're also, the county employees are paying more and more.
Correct.
But they're not getting cut on their, they're paying more in, but they're not losing it at the end. Like some of them, like Peter said, are being cut 30%, 30 or 40% what they were getting. They were getting $1,500 in retirement. Now it's $500 because their plans have run out of money. The things that CalPERS is not going to because, and this is the other part we want to bring up, yeah. CalPERS just turned around and just hammered us.
Yeah.
David?
That's correct. Yeah.
See,
it's costing more.
Right.
There's no question
about it. And there's a never-ending supply of taxpayer money for this.
You know, I understand your observation, but I don't think it applies to Shasta County.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons.
Okay.
The Board of Supervisors wisely hired Larry Lees a number of years ago with the idea, Carl, that we're not going to spend money we don't have. We're not going to borrow money for operational expenses.
Okay.
To use a very popular expression, we're going to live within our means. And that means that we're not going to be able to satisfy the needs of everyone. Now, I'm going to ask Larry to explain basically how the budget works, where the money comes from, and where we're spending it.
Okay. I understand that.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. We've only got. But here's the thing, though. Is it true that the state through CalPERS has just changed the percentage, and how much is that costing us in Shasta County?
So yeah, and remember earlier I talked about when the decision was made on the ARC, there was kind of this trifecta going
right.
on.
Right.
That was one of the components of that trifecta.
Right.
CalPERS, it's called reducing the discount rate. The cost for the pension plan had a discount rate based upon the based upon investments from PERS. When those investments started going down, then they had to lower that discount rate, which equates to the county having to pay more money. Over the next 4 or 5 years, it will cost the county an additional $5 million.
An additional and over the next what?
Four or five years.
Okay, so that's an additional $1 million a year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, we're not going to take a break at quarter till, Bob, so make sure we get down all the spots because we've only got like 15 minutes left. Let's go to the phone. Signe, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for waiting.
You're welcome. I was at Crime Watch yesterday, and the audience sat for 2 hours and listened to some Board of Supervisors and City Council people speak. And we watched a nice video of beautiful Reading, which it seemed like it was a little bit of propaganda because we didn't cause that. You know, that's God's. He gets the credit for that beauty of our city and surrounding area. But they were patting themselves on the back, and I just, it was hard. I felt like the elephant is in the room. This is a Crime Watch meeting, and not many spoke up afterwards about the real crime. And to me, the crime is the top-heavy government, and everybody's getting paid too much. They all make excuses. They use diversion tactics to compare with other cities. But the bottom line is the money's not here, and the private sector people are the backbone, and their backbone is being broken. They are the ones paying the taxes to pay the salaries and the wages and the benefits of the government. And the government decides where they're going to put the money, but there's only, to my knowledge, about 30% of the dollar that goes that's available after they pay their way. And so I just think that it's it is a negative. You know, people are not happy that we are groaning under oppression like that. And so we don't mean to be negative, but people can't even show up to that meeting, the worker bees, because they're at work trying to make ends meet with all the high permit fees and regulations and fines and
that leads us and Signe, thank you so much, because what you've said is we hear so much, and I'm sure that Dave and Larry hear this.
Sure.
But let's discuss that right now. Thanks a lot, Signe. And she's right. People are really scuffling out here. I mean, I just got a bill from the state for thousands of dollars for another business we have, and it's like, whoa. I mean, this is after paying a lot of money to the state. You know, and some of it may trickle back down here. I mean, if I knew it was going to the county or the city, I'd write them a check tomorrow. And
You could do that anyway.
That's right. But what she's saying is if the perception, and again, we go back to perception, is that we're paying a lot of money.
Right,
out there.
Right.
Those salaries keep going up, even though there was furloughs or whatever. Those salaries keep going up while down here, the taxpayers who are there, the median income is, what, $47,000 for a household here, are having to pay. And they see, and it's not the 1,000 that are on strike. They see the management side, David.
I have an observation I'd like to share with you, Carl.
Sure.
And also Cindy. People come in to pay their property tax to the county. And as the deadline approached, there's a long line of people there. So I took it upon myself to ask those people, where do they think their money is going? Every one of them said, we're writing these checks to Shasta County government. Therefore, Shasta County government is getting all the money. The reality is that most of that money, a high percentage of that money, goes to the state of California. The amount of money flowing to Shasta County and other local governments is minimal.
It's like 13 cents out of the dollar, isn't it?
Right.
13
right.
cents, yeah.
Right.
So, most people don't understand that. That's true.
Well, they really don't. No. But per Cindy's observation, it's incumbent to us to make sure that every dollar that is given to us by the taxpayer is spent wisely and effectively, and we not squander it. And that's what we try and do.
Okay. No, I understand that. Yeah. I mean, you just don't, you know, frivolously do things. So there's reasons behind all that. Now, one of the things that was said yesterday, and we talked a little bit about it, and I'm going to bring it up now, was that Leonard Modi, who said, hey, we need to bring more business. Mm-hmm. Jobs would change a lot of this. Jobs means more jobs, more money in the economy, more everything. And I was at dinner last night with a respected business person in this town, and they've got a big business. And their comment was, well, the county slows down the process. Now, this was whether this is true or not. I've never tried to, you know, go through the county.
Sure.
But I've been involved in all the fights that have been going on because, as you know, and from Anselmo to the person behind Anselmo to all these others. And, I mean, if there's – and people will say, you know, from the county, oh, no, that's not true. But yet other people say it is absolutely true. What is the county doing is to take a good look at your procedures and to if there is some kind of obstructions for business, mm-hmm. how to mm-hmm. get rid of all those? What are you all doing?
Okay. Well, let me just
have
make,
you heard this? Yeah. You've heard obviously
oh, absolutely,
heard this before.
Absolutely,
right.
So, let me make a specific offer. The individual that you had dinner with last night, if that individual feels comfortable, you have that individual call me or call Mr. Lees, and we will work with that individual to identify the problem areas and identify the solutions to it. Absent that, Carl, we're here this morning dealing in generalities.
Well, then let's get specific here.
Okay.
Let's say, you know, Leonard Modi was on a few months ago. He said he was bringing together a group of people. Because he wanted to push through the ability to, you know, for what are the problems people are having, and people like Innard
right.
and other
right.
people, developers,
business guys. Right, right.
So they had the meeting. I never heard what happened after that. Did everybody say, oh, there's no problem?
No.
Or did they
no.
say,
no.
there are problems. No. What have right. you done to fix that?
So, first of all, I just want to go back, and I will do this rarely, but I agree with you, Carl, in that, yeah, we can do better. There's no question about it. The county can do better.
Is that rarely agree with me or rarely go back?
But I was kind of wondering.
You should listen to the show. We have some good ideas now and then. And you do listen to it, I understand.
But with that being said, and Mr. Supervisor Modi did actually put this committee together. They met once, and then there was about a maybe 8-week lag, actually. And then a second meeting transpired. This group did come forward with a lot of ideas. One of the things that the Board of Supervisors had directed me, because they're hearing this too, we do a lot of good things, but we can do better. There's no question. And so they have put a significant investment into the whole permitting process, the whole resource management, and that's not salaries. So we're not talking about adding a ton of people. We're talking about streamlining it, having people be able to get information online. It's not up and running yet, but the money has been allocated and a contract has been awarded. So all these things where business folks can be able to just check online to see the status rather than having to come in and maybe get somebody that knows or doesn't know. But that's just a small piece of it. They're going to be able to actually complete a process online to where they don't even have to come into the building. Now, what people sometimes what we run into is
a big step forward.
But there's all kinds of things that involve with what some folks don't realize is that some of these things that slows us down, the county, is the fact that we've got these state flows and laws around that, EIRs, impact reviews and things like that. Those are state and federal requirements that the county doesn't have control over. And so there are a lot of state and federal guidelines that come into play that, we can't hurry up and we can't push through. But we need to do better at providing good information up front.
I think that's a real big thing, is that the more information that they have, or the ability to work with maybe the same person, and that's because different people – I've heard this, is that they'll come in and they'll say, no, you got to do this and this. And then the next time they come and that person's on vacation, the next person steps up, okay, and they sign it off.
Yeah.
We've just got to be, I think what everybody wants is a level playing field and the information that doesn't change. Yeah. So part of that, I think, is automated. Dave?
Carl, as I sit here and listen to your observations, I think there is a great deal of truth in what you've observed, in that to me, often the fallback position of government, whether it's local or state or federal, is one of defensiveness. We have to banish that idea. We've got to be proactive. We've got to listen to people. We've got to embrace positive ideas. And if they have merit, then we have to implement them rather than say, hey, we're doing a great job. We're not going to make any changes. The status quo is no longer acceptable.
I think that's
the point you're trying to make.
That's it, is that it's time to move forward, and we can do it as a community. Let's go to the phones. Morrow, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a statement?
I just had a question. I'm hearing a lot of talk about wanting to be proactive and move forward, but I'm pretty sure that what I haven't heard what your stance is on taxing marijuana grows, and that seems like a really big income generator for the county.
Okay, that's a good question. That's good because you're seeing it all over the state and Shasta County. Thanks, Laurel. God bless us. We have great country up here. It's great growing seasons, and it happens to be the best for marijuana. Some communities are using this as a way to offset these, offset expenses.
To generate revenue. Yeah. There's been a lot of work in that. I think it brings up a valid point. Some counties will choose to jump on that opportunity and some will not. The state of California, actually, they had one of their directors come out and talk to the Sheriff's Association here in California, and they said that the revenue that's being generated does not come close to offsetting the cost of enforcing.
That's what Basenko's saying, is that the injuries and all the other things.
Yeah. So. Now, but you know, we are representative of the people and the Board of Supervisors said, you know what, we're going to, there's going to be a measure out there. Well, actually, it was the people of the community put that forward. But they put a measure forward that said, that, you know, went to the people. Everybody voted and said, you know what, no, we do not want to allow outdoor cultivation here in Shasta County. And even if you look at the statewide proposition that went through here last November, Prop 64, if you look at the voters of Shasta County, they still said that they do, and that they do not want to, with this unincorporated area of Shasta County, they do not want to allow outdoor grows.
Yeah.
So, some area, obviously that passed.
Well, let me completely shift over. Okay, but I understand what you're saying. What, when is there any thought given to integrating services between the city and the county, the city of Redding, such as, I mean, you've already done some of it, but. And before we talked about the police, you know, but about why do, you know, we've got several different agencies doing this, essentially the same thing.
Right.
What about that? What about integrating services between the city and the county?
It's a positive idea. We've done that in several arenas.
Right.
Mr. Leaves works with on a regular basis with Mr. Starman. There is a willingness, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
On the part of the county, and I think at least the city of Redding, to become involved in joint projects where we can do things more efficiently and more effectively.
Give me another example, Larry.
Well,
I know we've already got the call center and all that.
The landfill.
The solid waste.
Right.
The solid waste is a joint county-city operation.
Okay.
The library is a joint city operation.
Okay. Well, what's another one that could be, you think?
Well,
go ahead. about housing.
One of you.
Talk about housing.
Okay, real quick. I think the Housing Authority is one that could be. The Section 8 Rental Assistance, that Housing Authority. Shasta County is now the Housing Authority for not only Shasta County, but three, four other counties throughout the state. We are that centralized hub. And certainly that is something, and this, except for City of Redding. City of Redding has their own unique, for good reason, but that is something.
That could be combined in there, though, right? That could be swallowed
easily,
up.
Easily.
All right.
Easily.
Hey, I just want to thank David Kehoe.
Thank you, Carl.
And I want to thank Larry Lees.
Thank you.
I know there's a lot of contentious stuff out there, strike and all this, fairness and what's not fair, salaries, all of these, and what we're seeing. But what I've heard today is this. Can I just turn that down just a little bit? So I want to see if we got this right. What I've heard today is from David and from Larry is that, yes, we'll gather people, leaders, for ideas, but we as the county supervisors are pledged to not be defensive,
right,
to embrace these ideas,
right,
and to move forward,
absolutely,
with them.
Well put.
Can I say that?
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when can we, because we're bumper sticker here, society, is when can we expect to see that first meeting?
Well, I've made an offer to you relative to the gentleman that you heard the comments.
Yeah, okay, that was just one guy.
Okay, well, but that's a start, Carl.
Right. But
that's a start.
What I'm thinking is that how hard is it to gather a group of people like you just had yesterday and say, okay, let's seriously look at this as ideas and how, and okay, yeah, we can do that kind of thing. I mean,
it's exactly what